Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
It is the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Wow, Bob, second weekend of September already. Woo! Deer season going to be on us anytime now, man. I'm this weekend, today and tomorrow, going to get the crossbow out. It's not like a compound. You know, it's kind of like getting the gun out and running four or five shells through it.
Two shots, you're good.
Yeah, make sure it's still on. It didn't
depends
get
on how
bumped.
Many times you want to walk down to the target.
That's exactly right. But it is a good time of year. There's a little snap in the air. We maybe have had our last humid 90-degree days. Some of you probably like that, but for me, it's good riddance. So anyway, I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. And welcome to the Grilling Guys. This is the smokiest show on the radio, and we're happy if you take an hour every weekend and hang out with us and just sort of peruse the palate, up and down the palate. And this week, we're going to beef up your menu a little bit, and I don't know about you, Jop, but beef's probably still the king of my plate.
Every day, man. It is by far my favorite protein on the grill. I think it's just because that was the first thing I really ever feel like I perfected. I struggle going out to eat and ordering a steak because I know I can make one much better at home.
So, usually. Yeah. Depends on where you go.
Right, yeah. Well, true. I mean, there are places, but...
Can't afford the places that are better.
Yeah, exactly.
So right. I know what your least favorite protein is.
Right, yeah.
Tofu!
Right, yeah, right. Only did that once.
An allergy to tofu.
Right.
Mr. Producer, Brian Fongers is tuning us up today. The wizard at the big board. Going to pull the levers, make us sound better than we really are.
Yeah.
But the heat is broken.
Yes.
And last weekend... After the show, my bride was gone, so I was on my back deck for it seemed like 10 days, but it was miserable hot.
That's how you spent your holiday weekend.
I did.
Siding the house. Huh?
Labor.
Yeah.
Labor Day.
Took Monday off, but I labored Sunday.
No, I labored Monday as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just so hot.
Right.
I mean, I finally just had to just not even try and wear a shirt because why bother?
Right.
It just gets soaking wet and you get even hotter.
Yeah.
So even with the wick-free shirts, I couldn't find anything other than just bare naked skin.
Well, and we had rain, and it was on and off. I don't know wherever you're listening, especially up north. I went up on Sunday. I went up to Stony Lake area. Have a friend that has a cottage right on Lake Michigan there. And I tell you what, I really enjoyed watching the storms come in the lake.
I bet.
It's the coolest
damn
thing,
man. Pictures of it. Yeah.
And big
because
fronts coming in.
Because it's like
in
being on the Great Plains. It's just... like Texas or something. It's just all sky and just
pure
nothing horizon.
To obstruct your view. Yeah. So we watched it, you know, and we're looking west, and that's where the storms are coming from. And you can see them lightning and rain out there, but it never got to you, right? I mean, it was just out there and it hit land somewhere else. And it was just a real interesting perspective.
And if you watch the radar, I've never watched radar as much as I have this summer because I have so many tools outside.
Right.
So I'm always trying to get ready and... If you watch the way they're kind of like, it looks like they're all originating in Arizona, and they come northeast in a string.
Yep.
And it's just a long line, and you're either going to get hit or you're lucky as heck, and you're getting nothing.
Right.
And I was getting pounded on, and my bride was up in Manistee in the Huron National Forest, and they were on and off. I don't think they got as much rain as I did, but... I kept watching for those red dots on the radar.
Yeah, those are the ugly
ones.
That's
the part to get you.
Yeah, those are the ugly ones.
I did myself a favor on Monday. I did some shrimp and scallop skewers.
Shrimp? You hate shrimp.
You know, I'm trying to like them, and I got a bunch of these frozen ones from my buddy Bob, and...
You don't mind free shrimp is what you're saying.
I like the scallop part. I don't hate shrimp. I'm just... It's okay, you know. It's like a pork chop. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not something I'm going to go nuts over. But the scallop in the middle, yeah.
Yeah.
I could eat those for breakfast.
Right.
I love them. So they come on a skewer, prepackaged.
Oh, they're lazy man skewers.
He sells them to Meijer, yeah.
I see.
And these were some extra samples.
Bob's a food broker, right?
Yes,
yeah,
right.
Your buddy. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
And so I marinated them in some Meijer lime EVO and a little pomegranate balsamic. And then I put some Hawaiian spices in it from my buddy, my Air Force buddy, Steve.
Is it Meijer lime
Kauai.
Or Meijer lemon?
M-E-Y-E-R.
Lemon or
Meijer? Meijer lemon. I'm sorry.
Okay, yep.
It was Meijer lemon. And
so the Hawaiian spices?
Beautiful. They were so good. And that's all I had. Three skewers. That was my whole meal.
So
and I think that was pretty healthy.
Yeah, for those that are listening, shrimp, you know, they turn a color and they kind of curl up a little bit when they're done. How do you know when a scallop's done?
When the shrimp's done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's not translucent anymore, it turns solid white.
Okay.
With some char.
Because that's something that not a lot of people would probably grill, is just scallops.
And they're so good.
Right, they are. And if they're properly cleaned, you can get the grit and stuff out of them.
Well,
I've
never noticed too much of that. You mentioned that before.
Right.
But,
maybe it was the cheap ones I ate growing up as a kid or something.
I don't know. A delicate palate.
Crunchy scallops are
the
not
The cool
mean,
thing, the way they packaged these was, and I think this is a great idea for the grill, is, you know, you said it, the shrimp are in a C shape. And you put that scallop in the middle of it, and run your skewer through it, and it kind of pins it in there perfectly. It makes for a really cool presentation.
The shrimp is wrapped around the scallop.
Yeah.
Right? And then you skewer the shrimp
scallop.
So it
looks like a Pac-Man eating whatever he eats.
Yeah.
And,
scallops.
And I ate them both.
Yeah.
I had three skewers of them. Okay. I didn't even get a side or anything. I got them done, and they smelled so good with that beautiful blend of oil and balsamic and the Hawaiian spices.
Uh-huh. Oh. What kind of balsamic did you use? I missed that.
Pomegranate.
Oh, okay. So fruit.
Yep.
Had a fruit profile.
Wanted to give
on.
It a little sweet.
Yeah, nice.
And, you know, I would have hit it with a reduction. I could have sweetened it up a little bit with like a balsamic pineapple reduction, something like that. Would
right.
have been really the, if you are serving guests and wanted to sweeten it up a little bit or really show
right.
off, you know, that would be a nice way to go with
and
it.
And for the listeners that don't know, a balsamic reduction is just that. It's just balsamic you put in a pan and you boil some of the liquid off,
right.
if you will, and it'll get a little bit syrupy,
yep.
and then but that really concentrates the flavors.
And I would have, in this case, I would have used a good balsamic and put some pineapple juice in with it. You know,
okay.
when you
right.
open a can of pineapples or fresh, you get all that juice. You just
yep.
add that to it. It's wonderful to use for a bunch of things. But I wanted to mention Snap Fitness because I get my lazy butt back in the gym, and I can tell the difference. It's been a couple weeks now.
Right.
You were busting my chops a couple weeks ago when I told you I was going back. And it's good. It's just really good. I feel bad when I drop out because you feel lazy. It's like, I'm cheating.
Yep.
And you get back at it, and it's like, okay, that wasn't so hard.
Right.
It was an hour.
Right.
But Saturday, Sunday, Monday, no. No, Jim. I could barely make it in the house at the end of the day.
Sweating with the siding.
Oh, my gosh.
Back, making that video, were you?
Yeah. It was so bad after my second beer, halfway through the second beer, I was sleeping.
There you go.
I wasted a half a can
halfway.
Of beer every night.
Wait a minute. We just went from going back to Snap to my second can of beer I fell asleep in the middle of.
Yeah,
so
that saved me calories.
You got some work to do yet.
That saved me calories.
Right, yeah, right. There is a positive side to everything, right? You just got to keep looking for it.
Yeah.
But anyway. Hey, coming up next, we're going to be talking to one of our board of directors, one we don't probably talk to enough. For those of you that are grill fanatics like Bob and I, you having a butcher to rely on, to call, to ask any kind of questions is priceless. And we've got one that has been on the show with us for years. And we're going to...
And a sponsor.
Right. And we're going to call him up next. It's Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. If you've ever listened to the show, you've heard us talk about Tim in the show. So coming up next, we're going to hit the butcher block. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grillin' Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com. Look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the second weekend of September, getting ever closer to bow season. I'm getting a little giddy. My favorite part of the year, this fall season. We got tailgates and everything else. But you can't get ready for a tailgate or a bow camp or anything without talking to your butcher, right, Bob?
That's right.
So we decided to talk to our butcher. The Grilling Guys have an official butcher. And he's on the grilling line right now, Mr. Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Hey, Tim.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Oh, man, we're fantastic. Good to hear your voice, brother.
Right back at you.
Yeah.
We're trying to beef up everybody's menu, buddy. What you got for big cuts of beef and what to do with it?
For this time of year when it cools off a little bit, sometimes you're thinking, you know what, we're going to be out doing this, that. How about a nice big kind of a pot roast kind of a thing? So a couple of thoughts. It could be that chuck, could be a bone-in off a local beef, a bone-in round bone roast, or a boneless English roast. And another good cut to use are beef ribs.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people kind of forget about the beef ribs, but they are so packed full of flavor. And it's a great time to do those. You can either sear them on the grill or get some smoke to them. Finish them off in your crotch pot, in your oven, in your Dutch oven, whatever you want to do. So there are a lot of options. A lot
Did
of
you say Dutch
options.
Oven? That's good.
Yeah.
No, I heard crotch pot is what I heard.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, you can't say that. That's
so,
a true story, though.
So, Tim, with beef ribs, because I think a lot of people are intimidated by those. Not every butcher shop and certainly not your big box meat markets are going to carry beef ribs on a regular basis. Now I've seen them as long as what, 12, 14 inches, or you get the short ribs. Is there a difference between them as far as the meat, or is it just a presentation thing?
It would be just a presentation. So obviously that long rib, and because we still are one of the few markets that break down hanging cattle, the long rib is what you're going to start with. So if you're in the marketplace and you see and they're only 6 or 8 inches long, you had to start with that 12 to 18 inch long rib to begin with to break them down.
So like on a pig, the baby backs are they're called high on the hog. High on the cow doesn't make a better cut.
Not necessarily. And it's that continuation of that rib meat that's on there anyway. So it's very, very succulent meat. And the term I'll use, it's kind of rich fat, like on brisket. And when you're eating it, it's like, boy, you can overeat and get a little bit of a tummy ache more as opposed to eating, let's say you're going to have a ribeye steak or porterhouse or whatever your favorite steak cut is. That fat isn't quite as rich, but it is so, so delicious.
Mm.
It's like a slice of heaven.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we all look in the mirror, and I'm a testament to fat as flavor because I enjoy it. And you got to have
so
some
Bigfoot,
of it.
So Bigfoot looks at you and licks his lips. Huh?
He does, man. Yeah. I am nothing but a Bigfoot hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah. We have, and actually, so, I mean, we could take and break into a chunk and talk about those ribs. But that's one, because it takes a long time like the brisket does, my opinion, it's better to make a whole lot more at once and have enough for leftovers.
Okay, so if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Talk Network, and we're talking with Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats right now, and I'm going to tell you, sit down and grab a pencil because he's going to lay a little, he's going to explain something, and you might want to take some notes.
Yeah, very good. So, Tim, those English roast and those chuck roasts, is that the same cut of meat?
The English roast and a round bone roast are kind of, those are very, very similar. So a boneless English roast is part of the bone-in round bone roast. So those are basically the same. The chuck roast is different. So the chuck roast, the meat's a little bit stringier, but my opinion, there's more fat, there's more flavor to the chuck roast. One over the other, I prefer the chuck over the English or boneless English. That will be a little bit leaner. And there's a little bit more flavor, like I said, in that chuck roast. But preparation, you can do them identical. You can do the same thing with either one of them, and they're going to turn out just excellent.
Is there another name for that English? Do they call it like a blade cut English? Or?
Well, the blade cut is actually part of that chuck, a blade cut chuck roast.
Okay.
And then, so in a true bone-in English roast, there's only five little rib bones in the one edge of it. It's almost completely boneless, but when it's off that local beef, the true cut should have those little rib bones as part of it. Then you know you got the real deal. And then obviously then the round bone roast, which is out of that shoulder meat also, just has one round bone, oh, maybe about an inch and a half, 2 inches in diameter. So again, mostly meat, but then you got that one round bone. That's one you want to make sure, if you've never tried it, when you're all done preparing it, eat tomorrow out of the middle of that bone. And that is extravagant. That's kick-ass right there.
And is
there.
That where the round steak comes from?
The round steak, no. That's going to be off the hindquarter. And it's basically, if you're to think of your thigh meat.
Okay.
And there again, in that round bone, which is off that femur in the back leg there, also is going to have a lot of that marrow meat in there. And again, if you've never tried that, don't say, ooh, that looks really yucky. You've got to try it because it is so full of flavor that if that goes in the trash, the dog will love you for it. But I would say don't throw that away. Make sure you eat that.
You know, I had that. I had a chef expose me to that one time, and you are absolutely correct. It's just rich and buttery, and we even used it on, like, take it out with a knife and use it on, like, a crostini or something.
Yep.
And, oh, my gosh, it's just fabulous. Now, people think, gross, you're eating bone marrow. No, you just ate the meat on the other side of the bone. You might as well eat what's in there as well because you're missing out if you take a pass on that. It's fabulous.
And there's nutrients in that marrow also.
Right.
So that's another one that's, there's nothing wrong with that at all. Some people get hung up thinking, oh, that sounds gross to do that, but it's full of nutrients as well, which even in the wild, that's why any predator is going to break that bone down and eat the marrow inside,
right?
Because it's full of nutrients.
Tim, what's your favorite cut of beef? Coming from a guy that can have anything he wants, like you said, you're cutting hanging beef, so you can before you go home tonight, take off the slice you like. What's that cut for you?
Oh boy, that's a toughie. You know, and so I guess one of them, I got two. One would be the sirloin, which is, you know, it's full of flavor, it's lean, it's tender, it's flavorful, has a unique taste to it. A lot of options of what you can use that sirloin for. And then the other one is a good old ribeye. And whether that's in a steak form, if it's going to be a tomahawk steak, a cowboy steak, a standing prime rib, that's probably...
You called my two favorite steaks. Tim, we're out of time. Tim Sobey, Sobey Meats. You have a great vacation, and we look forward to hearing all your tales from travel when you return.
Sounds excellent. Have a good one, guys.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That was Tim Sobey, Sobey Meats, a wealth of knowledge. We didn't even scratch the surface on beef. But anyway, coming up next, Bob's going to teach me how to do a brisket. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports, sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life, your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson. That's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, if you just tuned in, you just missed our butcher, Tim Sobey. He's just a wealth of knowledge, always a lot of interesting topics to talk about when you see him. But speaking of beef, we're doing a beefy show this week, and I've got a catering event coming up next week, and I've been requested, Bob, to bring brisket. And I'm bearing my soul here. This is a piece of meat that I struggle with to get it done properly and not dry it out. You watch on the damn TV down in Texas are just building a big old wood fire, throwing them on there, closing a lid, and the magic of TV is 14 hours later, they got a perfect brisket. And you don't ever see them put a thermometer in it. You don't ever see them do anything. They season it with salt and pepper, and they're like got people waiting in line to eat it. How do I get there?
Well, look, before I start, I just want everybody to know that this coming Tuesday is 17 years since we were attacked on 9/11.
Right.
So make sure you you take a knee for that one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question.
Okay, brisket.
Start with the raw piece of meat. I'm getting a packer brisket, right? Not just the flat, but the whole thing.
Best thing you can do is have... make sure you have a good supply that's giving you a nice brisket, because there's plenty of crummy ones out there. And that's why you want a butcher like we just had on.
Right.
If you have a good butcher, he'll steer you towards a nice brisket. And if you get lucky, you can get them at Costco, but it's you don't know. And
right.
They have a lot of good ones. I've gotten good ones there before, but you're so safe to go with a good butcher. The other thing you need, in my opinion, is a boning knife.
Okay.
I like my boning knife. Because
long, thin blade, almost like a fillet knife.
Not real long. Yeah, it's a medium sized knife. It's exactly like a fillet knife for fish. It looks like it, except it's a little thicker on the wide end, because you're going to reef on it a little bit. You'd snap a fillet knife with a brisket, but there's lots of little spots you need to carve wedges of hard fat out. That rich fat Tim was talking about.
Uh-huh.
It's very dense. It's very hard, and. It makes it easier to find and cut because it's so hard. You can kind of poke around till it's not hard anymore. But then carve all that stuff out. Now, when it comes to the fat on the bottom of the flat, I don't get too worried about that unless it's ridiculously heavy. I'll trim some down and reduce it. The main reason I'm reducing that is, number one, to reduce the amount of fat on my customer or my guest's plate. The other reason is, I don't need all that extra grease in my grease pit in my smoker.
Right. Going to cook off.
Right. And you don't need to season that fat because it's just going to melt. And you're going to put it fat side down on the rack when you do it.
Right. And we're smoking these, right?
Yep.
Yep.
So the next thing you want to do is if you have a jacquard,
right,
take your jacquard to it. And you gave me yours because
right.
I gave mine away.
Right.
So
right.
Come and get mine or right. I'll come over and help you if you want.
Right.
And we'll take a jacquard to that. We'll put our rub on it and then take a jacquard and just pound the ever-loving snot out of it. That way you know you'll have a tender piece of meat.
And those of you that don't know, a jacquard is a tool with a bunch of little needles, and you drive it. It's a tenderizer, but it drives the seasoning into the piece of meat as well.
It does both, yep.
Yep.
It's got,
yep.
You know, like a Chinese bed of nails.
Yeah.
Kind
right.
of thing.
Yeah. The circus went under, but they saved the jacquard.
They did. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And if you want to get a jacquard, it's J-A-C-C-A-R-D. You can get it online. Do not get the white one. Get the colored one because it comes apart easily for cleaning in your dishwasher or
right.
your soap and water, because the other one has a bunch of independent blades and it's a nightmare to put back together. So get the new style with a quick release button. And anyway, so you jacquard that whole thing. And then when you're cutting the fat out of it, you'll notice the flat and the point, which is the decal. That's your money meat. That's what you make burnt ends out of. You can literally separate those two if you want and smoke them separately. But if you start carving some of that fat that separates the decal and the flat, you start carving enough of that out there, the point will just fall off. You'll have two pieces of meat.
And that's
where nothing wrong with smoking those separately.
Okay, that's where that big hard fat that you're talking about is in that transition from the flat up to the decal. There's a vein
on
of it
the
in
side,
there.
On each
right?
side, there's generally...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
But the stuff I'm talking about carving out is really between the two.
Yep.
If you look at the point and kind of lift it up like a car hood, you'll see the flat under it, and you'll see a whole bunch of fat and collagen in there. It's okay to get rid of some of that. One of the things people struggle with is timing. And if you leave that whole thing together... Your flat down on the flat end is going to be an inch and a half thick, and it's going to cook really quick compared to that 3-inch point, which is full of fat and all this. You know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of work to get that one right. That's why I'm suggesting if you want to try, you can just separate those, and it's really easy. If you lift that decal up and you run your blade through that fat and just keep going in pure fat all the way till it stops, you'll have two pieces of meat.
Right.
You could literally throw each in the smoker that way with some rub and have a wonderful outcome.
Okay.
And you might be safer because what I do is I will leave them together, but I'll cut a lot of that fat out. I'll leave them together and then I'll cut the flat off of that back end of that brisket and cook him separate because it's going to be a smaller, quicker cook.
Right.
And I don't want to overdo the flat because it's already not as marbled as the point.
Right.
So it'll dry up too much. And if you've eaten dry brisket, it's generally going to be a flat that somebody left attached to the whole brisket.
Right.
And it's overcooked.
Okay. So the next two steps, seasoning. I you know, like I said, I watch on TV.
Keep it simple.
There's people that just use salt and pepper
and garlic,
and okay,
and that's all you need.
All right, because it's a piece of beef.
You
right?
don't need anything. Yeah,
yeah,
it's got wonderful chuck flavor.
Okay,
matter of fact, I wouldn't want to put too much more on there. Okay. If you want to throw a little sugar on, you can add some calories. If you want to throw a little paprika on, that's okay for a profile. Helps your color a little bit. I don't find a big flavor additive with some of those things. Garlic, salt, and pepper pull you through so many proteins.
Right.
That it's why mess with it?
So we get it seasoned up. We're ready to cook. What temperature are you going to try to use with your smoker, and are you using smoke wood?
Well, that depends on who you're cooking for and how smoky they want it.
Okay.
I like to put a good bark on a brisket, which is why I ordered us some butcher paper, by the way.
Okay.
I want to remind you.
All right.
I want to put some good bark on it.
And that's that crust on the outside,
yeah,
that forms.
On a brisket, it's critical. Well, it is on butts, too. I guess, you know, I'm less fussy about it on butts because I'm always hydrating them because they tend to need
right.
it.
Yep.
But with a brisket, I'm going to go a fair amount of flavor wood. I'm going to keep my temperature about 250, and I'm going to pound it for about 4 hours at 250, and I'm going to try and get that temperature up close to 140, 145, and then I'm going to wrap it in butcher paper.
Tightly or loosely?
Pretty tightly.
Yeah. And butcher paper can go on the smoker and not catch on fire.
That's right.
That's why it's butcher paper.
Yep.
Right.
And you use the pink butcher paper, not the white stuff.
Right.
The white stuff has a polymer lining on it. Some kind of lining. It doesn't look like it's edible.
Yeah.
But then I'm going to leave it in there until it reaches 195, and I'm going to pull it.
Okay.
You do that, and you'll be happy as a clam.
Right. So wrapped it at 140. Timing is not anything. It's temperature
yep.
is everything. And you're going to take it to 195 and pull it.
Yeah, I'm going to probably wrap it around 150.
Okay.
Typically is about how my timing works out. But It's gonna take a while now to get back rolling because you've cooled it off a little in the wrap. You've added a barrier, blah, blah, blah. You've opened up your smoker a few times, so you're dropping temp. So it's going to take you a while to get it going again. And once you do get it going, you're going to notice it's going to hit 160, 165, and it's going to stall.
Right.
Just keep an eye on it. It'll take off again.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to employ all those tips and techniques, and I'll report back next week as to how we do it. But coming up next, we might put a loin on the rotisserie a la Jop. Stick with us. We'll be back. But it feels so right.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FenValley.com.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes, along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior, can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Beer City, USA.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. We're hitting the beef pretty hard today, and we're not going to let up because I have proclaimed that beef is my favorite protein on a grill. There's a lot of things I love to grill, but none more than a great piece of beef. And there's a lot of different ways you can do it. Bob was just breaking down a brisket in the smoker. As I said, I have a little catering gig that wants me to do carved brisket at the end of the buffet line kind of thing. So we're going to pull that off. But
you know what you need to bring?
What's that?
A case of Better Made chips to go with that.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It would.
Yeah, chips and brisket.
I had some by the fire last night with a nice can of Oberon, and it was pretty wonderful.
Yeah, yes. Right. Beer and chips? Come on. How can that go wrong?
This time of year, Oberon just hits. It's so easy. It's a go-to.
Yeah.
Such a good beer.
Yeah. But so I wanted to talk a little bit about using a rotisserie. I have a grill that is made out of stainless steel, just welded up box. But I only, and it's got a coal bed that I can raise and lower to get closer to the rotisserie or farther away. And I use that grill almost exclusively for rotisserie meats because I've got a big old 5/8 octagon rod on that thing, and it's 4 foot long, right? And you can put a big old chunk of meat on that rotisserie.
Can you put a hog on it?
What I've not tried. I bet you could put one of those little suckling hogs on it. It's not quite that big for a whole hog, but the bar says it'll hold 125 pounds when I bought it, and it's a big, huge motor on there to turn it and so on. But anyway, one of the things I like to do on there are rump roasts, right? And it's just a big chunk of beef. You heard Tim talk about the sirloin, but there's this rump roast off the hind quarter of a cow, and you can buy them in different sizes.
What do you prep that with?
What? Again, the salt, pepper, and garlic.
You're not going to inject it?
No, I'm not, because what I'm going to do is slice it thin when I'm done. And use it as lunch meat. I'm not cutting it like a chunk of steak to put on your grill. But the point is when you set up this rotisserie, it's offset cooking. You don't want the meat on top of the fire. You want it beside the fire because it will drip. As it cooks and it renders, it will drip. And when it drips, you get flare-ups, and then you're going to get a burn. And this grill that I have is wide enough that the rotisserie is over the middle. I can build a fire on the front and the back of the grill chamber. And I actually put a pan down there to catch the drippings inside. And then there's coals on left and right.
And you could reuse
pan.
Those.
That's exactly what I do. You use it for gravies or sauces or whatever it may be.
Rumor has it that I actually own part of this grill. Will I ever get to be able to use it?
You might be able to come over and watch. That's it. That's all. Don't tell me about the things that our sponsors send you that I find out about like a year later. Oh, we got one of those? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I perfected it, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Okay, so you could actually have a custom-made pan for that thing.
Yeah.
I'll get you one made if you want.
Yeah, and I don't yet. Stainless. I just use a regular serving pan, the aluminum ones.
Even several bread tins would work for it.
Yep, yep.
Because they're long.
Because all I'm trying to do is catch the drippings,
right.
And then
you can
use them. Right,
yeah.
You can use them over. And it keeps your grill from getting all messed up as well. I mean, you don't want grease in the bottom of your grill.
Isn't that a dry piece of meat when you're done with it?
A little bit if you overcook it, but again, it's the temperature. I'm only bringing it to 125 or 130 internal temperature.
Why don't you do a loin on it?
Well, you could. Loins are just lean, and that rump roast is a little bit lean, but the loins are pretty lean. You got to watch them to make sure you don't overcook them. But you absolutely, the rotisserie grill that we have, the portable one that we bring to tailgates. We've done loin on there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the key to putting a piece of loin on the rotisserie is you've really got to clamp down the tongs, the forks that go into that, because it's softer meat with it being a loin.
It spins, and it
spins on you, and then you don't get an even cook. So mm-hmm. you got to be pretty careful when you put the loin on there with the two forks that come in from either end. And I've seen people do it. I've not done it, where you can take a piece of chicken wire and wrap that around the loin, and then put your forks into the chicken wire. Then it won't spin on you, because the forks are in the wire, if you wanted to. But that's a little bit overdone.
Yeah, because everybody wants zinc and titanium plating on their
well, sure.
meat. Yeah, it's galvanized.
Yeah, right.
No, no, don't do that. Okay. So there's another nice piece of meat you can do something like that with, and I'm going to just offset grill this, and they call it the eye of round. You see it in supermarkets all the time now, because they're trying to make a fancy piece. It's really a cheap piece of meat, and you can find it on sale for $4.99, $6.99 a pound or whatever. It looks like an eel. It's just a long tube. It's supposed to look like a fillet, but it's not. It's a tougher piece of meat. It's what they make round steak out of. Typically, you would cut that into thin steaks, and a butcher is going to run that through his tenderizer, and then they call it Swiss steak.
Right.
So, but what I'm going to do with it this time
is good, by the way.
Yeah,
the steak
it is.
But really
you, again, it's something you have to slow cook
right.
and simmer. So I'm going to take this eye of round and season it and offset grill it. So I'm going to kind of offset it or smoke it for a couple of hours and get that up to, maybe 120 internal temperature. And I'm going to pull that off, and maybe a 125. I'm going to pull it off, and if it's on a spit, take it off the spit. And then I'm going to roll it across the grill and sear it up nice on the outside. And I'm going to then baste it and wrap it and park it. And I'm going to let that thing cool down, and I'm going to slice that into a wonderful lunch meat.
Oh.
If you're cutting against the grain, and you cut it just with very, very thin slices against the grain, and that makes for a wonderful beef sandwich.
Right.
It's
horseradish,
so flavorful.
And piece of
whatever you want.
Piece of cheese.
French dip, whatever you want to make
shaved
roast beef out of. It's an affordable piece, and there's no fat on it. It's very lean, very healthy.
That sounds like a man
it's
sandwich.
It's a nice piece.
It's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A man, man, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Today's man law is really for you single fellas out there. I guess a married guy hanging out with a single fella, it would apply to. Today's man law is, thou shalt not inhibit another man's game.
That's right. You're a wingman. You're not an inhibitor.
Don't be hating.
Right. So, Bob, another thing that you taught me early on when we first got together on this show was how to make jerky. And you opened my eyes to using a piece of chuck roast.
Beautiful stuff.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I like it better than venison.
Right, yeah. So, and people are like, chuck roast, give it a run.
Yeah.
But tell us how to do that, because it's smoking a chuck roast either in little pieces to make a jerky or big piece.
I would tell you to start off with, try just smoking a chuck roast whole, because that is so rewarding and so tasty. And it's easier than a brisket. Why? Because it's a little more tender. It's not a brisket. Briskets
right.
are tough. There's a technique there. Anybody can smoke a chuck roast. You literally just salt and pepper it, garlic, put some fresh garlic on there, and whatever spices you want, but don't overdo it. It's chuck. It's chuck full of flavor.
Right.
That's why they say chuck full of flavor.
Right.
and then smoke that bad boy at about 275 or 300. Light smoke, don't throw a bunch of smoke at it, especially if you want the ladies in the house to love
say,
it.
Let the meat do the work.
A lot of people don't care for smoke, particularly the fairer of the sexes, not big on heavy smoke. So I'm going to do that thing at 275 to 3 1/4, probably not even put much flavor wood on, and I'm going to let it run for 4 to 5 hours, and I'm going to run that temperature up to 195,
Okay, just like a brisket.
Yep.
Yep.
And what I'm going to do with this, Chuck, is I'm going to also trim some fat off it before I smoke it.
Okay. Yep, because a little bit of fat adds a lot of flavor. A lot of fat creates a mouthfeel that is no good.
Yeah, and a little bit of fat, where I want the fat is in marble. I don't want fat on the outside. I don't, because with that fat on the outside of a steak or a piece of meat, there comes like a hard piece of cartilage type fiber that mm-hmm. nobody wants to chew on.
Right. Yeah, it's just not a good thing, but
connective tissue.
Coming up next, we're going to finish your cue here with a little tri-tip technique. This is an interesting piece of meat. Bob is in love with this piece of beef, and he's going to tell you why. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Billy Mac is a detective down in Texas. You know he knows just exactly what the facts is.
Hi, this is Sal Cipriano, CEO of Better Made Snack Foods. Ever wonder why our Better Made potato chips taste so good? They're made with homegrown potatoes from West Michigan farms. So when you're driving to the beach, a festival, or a ballpark, and you pass by those farms, think of Better Made potato chips. Better yet, stop by your favorite grocer or convenience store and pick up a bag for the trip. For nearly 90 years, Better Made Snack Foods are Better Made.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Welcome back. We're going to bring this barbecue to a close, but before we do that, Barbecue Bob has a little-known piece of meat. I guess it's getting more popular now, but something I hadn't heard of 3 or 4 years ago, and it's now become one of your favorite cuts. And tell us about it.
Yeah, it's big in California. It's called a tri-tip, and I'm going to say I started really digging it maybe, I don't know, 15 years ago or so. Tommy Brand's restaurant had it. He cuts them into steaks and calls them sizzlers.
Right.
His sizzler used to be a cut-up tri-tip. I think he's moved to a ball tip for it now because it's cheaper. But the tri-tip is a weird, it looks like a UFO. It's like a triangle, an elongated triangle, like a stealth bomber kind of looking thing or something. I don't know. It's
thicker on,
yeah.
I mean, it's off the bench,
it's
right?
It's a strange diamond-shaped pyramidal thing. But the long and the short of it is it's got wonderful marbling in it and hardly any fat on the outside. So when you get a tri-tip, let's say you're at the big box store. You're not at your favorite butcher's. You're going to get it cryovac'd, okay?
That's that plastic wrap or
it's going to be
wrapped,
it's going
right?
to be plastic right. wrapped, and they're not going to have trimmed it. So what you're going to want to do is get your again a nice little trimming knife, and you want to get all that silver skin off the outside of it. If you don't, you're going to have some terrible chews when you're serving that.
And that goes for any piece of meat. If you see that silver
yes.
skin on it, even your loin out of your deer. Is going to have that on there, and you want to get that off
yes.
there before you cook it.
Yes. Otherwise, they're pulling something out of their mouth that's stringy and trying to get rid of it while nobody looks.
Yeah.
Or they're taking one for the team and swallowing it.
Yeah.
So trim that thing up. And I guess I'm just a basic guy, but I'm going to go with a simple. I might use like a Montreal steak seasoning
mm-hmm.
or my favorite steak rub on it.
Right.
Something good for beef. It's really hard to beat McCormick's Montreal steak season.
Right.
It really is good. It's got a little dill.
Cowtown makes a couple
got a little
good
garlic.
Ones. There's a brand out
yep.
there I think of.
Yeah.
That T-Bone.
I know Garrett sells
ones.
All those.
Right.
You can go to Garrett's Appliance. If you need a new grill, that's where you're going to go anyway.
Right.
So pick up some spices while you're there. And then I'm going to offset smoke that thing, or I'm going to offset grill it, indirect grill it.
Okay.
And when it's done, I may or may not put a sear on it. I'm going to bring that baby up to 135. I'm going to pull it and wrap it.
Right.
I'm probably not going to try searing
So this is a steak temperature. This is not a roast temperature. You heard us talk about chuck. You heard us talk about brisket. We're bringing that to 195. This is a steak cut, this tri-tip.
It's very lean. It's got some nice little mini marbling in it, I'd call it. But there's not a lot of fat and juice, so you want to wrap it and park it for about 15 to 20 minutes.
And again, that wrap, are you using foil or we like to use butcher paper?
Anything.
Right?
You can use plastic wrap for the wrap on that if you want to.
Because you're not cooking
it
anymore.
It's only at 135.
Right, and you're not cooking it anymore. You're just letting it try to retain its moisture.
Don't use the New York Times, though. So.
Right, yeah. You know, you don't want to eat that words. Anyway, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Bob's got what you got?
I just want to pass out condolences to the DeVos family. Richard DeVos passed away last week, and he was a great man for our community and for the country.
Right, he sure was. So get out in your backyard, fire up a grill, create some grill envy, and we'll talk with you next week.